Hi, welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Sometimes I think, Lord, our minds just go like a computer running in high speed. Many scriptures pass through your minds, you think of it, but there's one that stands out, Lord. The entrance of your word brings light, life, revelation, understanding, even to the simple, it says. So anyone can understand the word of God. It's plain to hear, it's plain to see, it's easy to believe if you realize with what you're actually dealing with. Help us to change so that all disturbances would leave homes, families, and we can move into a state of absolute peace. We thank you, Father, for your input through the Word of God. We want to apply it because it's all about that. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. This morning, I ask more to just do a little bit of an introduction on the message, because I wanted her to talk about values, and she had some very good notes on the subject of values, and because it's become a critical thing. Values, priorities that people accept worldwide or reject worldwide. But actually, there's only one value system, and I'm holding it in my hand. Amen. That's the constitution of any life, of any church. Our church, can you say amen? Amen? Our homes, families, that's the constitution. You live according to this book, you're living with power. You're living in a blessing. So, let me hear, and let me turn over to her.
When Harold said the word constitution, we must come to grips with something that is so important. We have to make choices. Are we citizens of the kingdom of God, or are we citizens of this world? We can't be citizens of both. We do not have dual citizenship. And in the process, when we become citizens of the kingdom of God, we take on the constitution of the kingdom. Now, every constitution lays out moral values governed by ethical behavior. It takes on the character of a nation. Now, we know that there are good moral values in constitutions of nations, but there are also bad ones. But we're dealing with the kingdom of God, which is ultimate. Ultimate holiness. Ultimate love.
That's right.
Ultimate goodness. And we have to come to grips with the aspect of the moral values of the kingdom of God. And a moral value can only be initiated by someone greater than ourselves. That's why governments would initiate the law. Well, God has initiated the law. And it's those laws that govern us. We all differ, and therefore we're not consistent. We're not stable in our evaluations. One believes in the death penalty. Another one doesn't believe in the death penalty. People believe in abortions. People don't believe in abortions. We can only define morality from a human point of view, with a view of God's word as our guideline and the workshop manual, which is our workshop manual, which is the word. We need to come to grips with something that is so powerful. We either take on the constitution and the moral values contained in this word, because everything that we fail in, we fail miserably. Atheists don't have a leg to stand on. And I love to hear these apologists and how they speak about One atheist says this and another atheist says that. And I said, yeah, they all differ in their code of conduct. They cannot agree on a definition of good and evil, moral or immoral. They are in permanent contradiction of what is right and what is wrong. And I was sitting one day in my parents' yard and we were sitting there with a doctor. And I don't want to give too much information. He was a Jew and he headed the AIDS project for many years with the government. And he was sitting there and he was speaking about how rampant AIDS was spreading on the African continent. He was just dealing solely with the African continent. And he made this statement. He said there are nations in Central Africa where men are having sexual relationships up to 6 or 7 times a day. And I said, wow, that's promiscuity. That is so immoral. And he said to me, who are you to judge? That's the question. Who are you to judge? And I said to him, I didn't judge. Your God judged. You see, if we don't have a moral reference to refer to, who are you? Who am I to judge? But God said so. That is our moral reference. God's moral law, we know, are encompassed in the Ten Commandments. The first 4 is our duty toward God. The second 6 is our duty toward one another. We just have to cover those 6. Dude, we're not even touching the first 4. How many times don't we put on the TV, God's name is used in vain? 90% of the world, even in the Christian church I'm talking about, serve another god called Mammon. We have set other gods above our God. How many times hasn't murder been committed? We've had it in our own family. How many times haven't we seen people stealing and looting? And I heard a conversation one night that a reporter was having with somebody that was part of the looting, and they said, do you understand that you have stolen? No, I haven't stolen. I need the food. There is no concept of the word steal, to rob. Adultery is rampant. This is God's moral laws that we're talking about. We cannot change what God has said in His Word. God has clearly said He cannot lie, He cannot change. There is no variation of shadow in God. To change God's Word is to do what Satan did in the Garden of Eden when he perverted and distorted the Word of God, deceiving Eve and leading Adam out of the garden path. We bring about our fall from grace when we pervert, twist, and misinterpret the word to suit our lifestyles or to justify wrong interpretation of lifestyles. And you know what I'm talking about. I give an example here. We as mortals, without the knowledge of the Spirit of God, make moral judgments. And when we do that, 9 times out of 10, it is cockeyed. We save the whales, but we murder babies. Hitler made a moral judgment when he killed 6 million Jews and said it was fine. Man without God does not have the ability to be morally good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man cannot consistently live a life free of sin because he is born with a fallen nature. Therefore, we all need the Savior. The mind of Christ. And I want to share a little example here. I'm pinching a little bit more time. We have a friend, very intelligent man. To sit for 5 minutes in his company, you end up feeling real stupid. But you know what? I can joke, and I can joke with him. And I said to him, you know what? I know that you are so intelligent, but I want to tell you, I have the mind of Christ. And God even makes the simple person to be intelligent when you have the mind of Christ. With his mind, we're more intelligent than anybody else in this world. Because we have his mind, we have his wisdom, we have enlightened eyes, we can see, we can hear. I said, you with the Holy Spirit guiding us in the mind of Christ, replacing our wrong thoughts, we are able to reach measures of righteousness and goodness. Why? Because God's word is our cleansing agent. Can I get an amen? Give him a praise offering.
You know, there are so many inputs and things that I never think there's a coincidental thing. I always think it's a God incidental. And I mean, it's like you hear the same thing coming in. This afternoon, there's the Gospel Channel and Dr. David Jeremiah. He's talking about the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus being born full of grace and full of truth. And then he talks about him standing in front of Pontius Pilate, and Pilate asks him, what is truth? And then Pontius Pilate turns right around and he crucifies the truth. And he allows attack on the truth. He doesn't know he's standing and facing the Creator, the great Creator, the one that created him too. But at the same time, he delivers him to the hour of darkness that the plan of God's redemption could work out. Amazing moment. Try to bury the truth. You can't bury the truth. There's no way. There's resurrection power in the truth. No matter how dead a situation is, with the truth, there's always resurrection power. And I'm thinking of something that Frankie was saying this morning, that he said, I actually got it from him, and he got it from Ravi Zacharias, and I like to listen to him when I have the time. Brilliant man. He's a friend of another friend of mine, Professor David Block, and so he speaks of the same thing. He says, one society, they say, love your neighbor as yourself. In another society, you can eat your neighbor. They're cannibals, like in Papua New Guinea. And also in the Amazon basin, in the mountains where they don't allow the Western world to make any form of contact whatsoever. Those Indians living there in that deep jungle live without totally unaware of this church service at all. They know nothing about this. I preached on the riverside of the Amazon River. And that river is cut into the ground so deep where we were that you go up stairs that they've made. They've made some stairs. And you climb right to the top, and then there's a level, and there's an Indian village in that jungle. There are parrots and monkeys and things that run around with blowpipes. They go hunting. The men are running around bare feet in the jungle. It's just, I'm looking at this, I am fascinated with it. And I still brought with me one of those blowpipes, the whole deal, with the arrows, the whole thing. I just had to bring it home. Because I thought, I'm preaching under the moonlight in the Amazon to the Indians there and introducing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The most amazing moments of life. There in that deep jungle up the river, the government won't allow you to go there. And those people have not had contact with any form of society. They live completely separate. And so what is condoned there is not condoned here. What is condoned here in South Africa is not condoning the kingdom of God. Problem is, I've given a series of sermons. The problem is, for most people, they are standing 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the kingdom of God. And you can't do that. Your citizenship is of the kingdom of God. The second thing I said, the problem is that people are too connected to the negative news that goes on in the world. Too connected to it. And therefore, they take on that spirit, that depressive spirit, that's lingering around the planet. The devil is very busy. And he's got all of his principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and the spiritual hosts of wickedness. They're working in every direction. And people connect too heavily to the world and to the culture that comes across either on television or on the stuff from Hollywood, television and Hollywood. And it's all about murder, like I said before. It's all about who killed who and who's investigating this and another detective. And this one's a superb detective. And this one is like Sherlock Holmes. And the next one is, and it's all about killing people. So value systems are perverted, altogether perverted. Jesus came and he said, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. You know what he said? He said, verily I say to you, the very words that I speak will judge you in the day of judgment. The words that he spoke, they try to crucify the word. Can you think about that? You can't crucify truth. Now, Mort spoke about something, and I just want to connect up something to that. And that is that God is the God of absolute. That also came out this afternoon. He is absolute holiness, absolute truth, absolute perfection. In everything you can think about God, knowledge, whatever it is, by whatever measure, you're talking in terms of absolutes. When he said, let us make man according to our image, according to our likeness, that was an absolute statement from the absolute one who absolutely created Adam and Eve in his image and likeness. That's where we are. Then he sent his son. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 1:1-3, it says that Jesus is the express image of his person. The Afrikaans language got a very good word there. It says, as the afdruksel van sy wese. The absolute image of his person. Now, if you think about that, just think about that. If you take, for example, if you take this note to the last little atom that sits here, and you could duplicate it to that level precisely, that there will not be any difference in the atomic weight of this piece of paper and another one, and the one would be an absolute, complete afdruksel. Carbon copy, express image of his person. You take two of them. That's the Father, that's the Son. He who's seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus, full of grace, full of truth, full of mercy, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he says in John 8:32, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you know that your pastor has been into the ancient manuscripts. Why? What for? Because when I compare the texts with the Hebrew text, even the Greek texts, then I see words added in by translators that should all be italicized, cursive gedruk. italicized. They should all be, because they're not in the original manuscript. Sometimes they make sentences work by adding words. And so I am fascinated, and I say, Lord, I want the absolute truth from the absolute God, and I want to know exactly what you said, and will you please help me to understand the absolute truth? So when there is something like a sentence in the Bible, let's take the royal prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. I take it word by word. I cross-reference it. I go into every possible dictionary. I look at the shape of the letters. I look at the numerical values. I look at every possible thing that I can find there that would be precisely what he said. So that I could pray, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. Faith is based upon the truth. The word is the truth. So, that being said, you take those Ten Commandments that Mort spoke about. When she said that, immediately I thought of Romans chapter number 7, where Paul said, deep in my heart, I find a delight. I delight myself in the law of God. Because it's absolute. God's never changed. I said, God's never changed. He never changes. But Jesus comes and he fulfills that law and then redeems us. That means buys us out at the price of his own blood to the glory of the Father. So I want to know precisely what stands there. And I could sit for hours looking at just one sentence that becomes so fascinating that it captivates me. This is just where I'm at. And I'm thinking, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, but you better know what word you're listening to and how you understand the word. Now, based upon the word, we're looking at our families, we're looking at value systems, and let me say this again, no worldly government. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, it says these words, the God of this world system, which is the devil, is blinded the eyes of the people. The devil is called the deceiver of the nations. So what does he do? He twists the word and he presents it in a different manner. That's why I don't like paraphrased Bibles. You'll find me steering away. The only one that I would go to sometimes is the Amplified. But if you look on my computer and you look at it here, I've got, number one, I've got the New King James right next to it. I've got the Jewish Bible, the two next to each other. And next to that, I've got the Greek or the Hebrew, whichever's applicable that comes up. And I read and I look across and I see, there's an extra word there. Why'd they do that? They should have done that. And I think my faith is based upon this, because my faith has got to be founded on the rock so that I can withstand the storms. I like this lighthouse because this is a house that gives light. And right there on this picture, you see a little chimney. Smoke coming out of the chimney. Somebody is having a fireplace and perhaps a piece of steak and relaxing there. Outside, it looks like this. The storm is raging. But if you're on the rock, if you're on the rock, then you cannot be shaken. Now, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is spiritual freedom, and there's all kinds of other freedom. But I've often said there are more people in prison that are more free than people walking around on the streets. Because everything is broken up. Homes get broken up. Families are in disorder and disarray. And you have to stop. Take stock. Spring clean. Think. Why? Why? Why is it like this? Why does it continue down this road? Why does this storm not stop? It goes on. That's what the ministers are dealing with. I spoke about that this morning. But there's one thing I left out in the first service. I did put in the second service. I want to get to that because I still want to minister to people tonight. But let me say this to you. I'm walking at the bottom of my yard and with the dogs in the darkness, and I stop there. And I'm just standing there, and it just comes to me. Maud has a friend. And this friend is really very sick. And that friend of hers once said to her, "I know my boundaries." Now I heard them talk on the telephone. And I hear the discussion, "I know my boundaries." And right there, that sticks with me. I walk out into the garden, and I'm thinking, know your boundaries, know your boundaries, know your boundaries. Must talk to the church about this. Know your boundaries. And then I start thinking of ring fencing. That I, excuse me. Then I start thinking of building a hedge of protection around my house. Then I start thinking of praying over it, anointing it, praying over it from corner to corner. And I did that. I walk in the night and I pray and I think, this thing, I actually typed it out here, where I said, boundaries. Know your boundaries. There are boundaries that you just don't cross over. Why? Because the devil's on the other side. Why? Because that's where he wants to come in. And it's easy for the devil when you come to him. It's more difficult if you have set up a hedge of protection and you've made in your value system, this is as far as I will go and no further. This could cause destruction to me and my house. This is breaking up, let's say, my marriage. This is causing all kinds of problems for me, my children, my children's children, whatever. This is where everything stands or falls. This house has got to be on the rock. If it's not on the rock, and the rock is the word of truth. And I've got to, Maud mentions the Ten Commandments. Do you know that alone is the reference point where we have the reference point of a value system. Immediately, it's still alive. You may not kill. You may not commit adultery. You may not steal. You may not covet. You must honor your father and your mother, that your days may be lengthened. In the land that the Lord your God, I'm going from the back to the front. You may not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall honor the Sabbath. I'm going up, like I say. Coming up to number one. Number two, you shall not make for yourself any graven image of anything on the earth, heaven above, on the earth, or under the earth. You shall not bow down to those things and worship it, because the Lord your God is a jealous God, visiting the sins of the fathers unto the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me. Now I arrive at number one. You shall have no other gods beside me. That means you shall have no other gods beside the Lord God. He's the great creator. He's the possessor, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so I've got to ring fence my house. I've got to raise stone wall hedges protecting my moral principles. I've got to say, Lord, this is where I won't go, so help me, God. This, you know, it's like, look at me now for a moment. Let's say, okay, you see this, if I step forward, I'm going to fall because of gravity. I'll fall, force of gravity. But more than that, don't know how many of you've ever had that feeling that one gets. In the town where I grew up, there was a place called the Caving Grounds, because there were a lot of mines there, gold mines, and the ground used to just fall in, big sinkholes, big ones, deep ones, very deep. The miners worked there. One of my uncles were killed there. He was working down there many, many years ago. I'm talking before I was even born. He was working down there in those mines. A stone fell from the top on his head, just killed him on the spot. But there where those mines are, or were, in those gold mines, there was one particular huge sinkhole. And my friend, who is still on my telephone list, Professor Wouter van Werven, we used to go there and put the bicycles down, and that ground is so fragile. I want to tell you, then you walk to the edge and you look down there into that hole, that deep, 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 deep hole. Down there is water. Because of the rain, it's formed a little dam. Not so little, quite a dam. And there were water turtles swimming around in it. So we'd walk and just check out the water turtles down there. And we'd wonder, how can we get down there? If we can get down there, then we can get a water turtle. You know how boys think. Naughty is the word. But here's the other word. When you get to that high edge and you look down, have you ever had that feeling like it's like magnetic, it wants to draw you down there? You want to go over that edge. There is a point where you go over the edge. There is a point that you set a boundary. Now, there is a little boundary here, but there should be a boundary and say, you're not going to step beyond this, because to step beyond that is to fall. To fall far and get hurt badly. To give the devil now free rein and license to come in like a flood and destroy your whole home. That's why we have Sunday school, children's church on Sunday nights. We never stop with that. Because I can't look at anything else. As a minister, I care as much for the adults as for the children as for the youth. Everybody's important to God, so they're important to me also. And those little children, I want to tell you, they're very important to us. And so it's critical that they be fed with the Word of God as much as possible, because they are exposed to the same stuff. And the quicker they learn the prohibiting principles, the better for them. Because there is this cliff. And if you're there, you're kind of a cliffhanger, because you feel like it's pulling you down there. You kind of get drunk. The feeling that you get in your whole body when you look down there, it's like almost like an adrenaline rush, but there's a little drunkenness. And it's just crazy. You feel that feeling. That's what happens if you step over the boundary. God sets a boundary. You step over that boundary, you get in trouble. Or, what's more, I spoke here about ring fence and stone wall hedges. You've got to know your boundaries. Know your boundaries. Come on, everybody say, I must know my boundaries. You've got to know them, identify them. You know, let me give you a little bit of fatherly advice, because that I am, grandfather to an apostle. Say you identify three or four things where you must not go. You take one at a time. A good general always takes one battle at a time. Breaks the yoke and moves on to the second one. You set up boundaries. Those things that cause you to stumble, or your family to stumble. I'm amazed. Parents just let their children run free with these games and stuff, and some of those things are so full of demons. Those kids don't even have to hold those iPads, they're floating. And the children are playing that stuff. They're playing it now on the, via the internet, playing games over a distance. They go on for hours. And it's got no, zero mental development impact. Zero. Man's intellect increases up to the age of 18, maximum 21. And after that, you've got a graph that slowly, slowly descends. Very slowly. But if you look at the intellectual capacity, you know, that child in development phase has nothing in all that time that child spends on that stuff. And what's more, much of it is demonic in its root and in its motivation. Much of it is to expose the child to something, some form of witchcraft, movies, magic wands and stuff. Magic. Much of it is just designed to take that child down. Even before they get to their teenage years, just get them out. Parents have got responsibility, I tell you. I don't compromise. I don't compromise with any of my children. I refuse. I will not compromise. Because number one is, I'm a man of God. And this word says, what I should and should not. End of story. Case in point. No further arguments, Your Honor. What your book says, the word of God, that's the final say. On any argument of any matter of anything, I don't care. So you set your boundaries. Now I want to talk about those boundaries. Identify them. Write them down. Look at your family. Look at your business. There are boundaries in the business where people compromise. I mean, I went far away to Switzerland. Did a big conference there, huge conference. Lots of churches getting together, and I was the speaker. At the end of the conference, the man that organized all the organizing behind the scene called onto the platform. Then he gets a bottle of liquor as a you know, gesture of thank you for the job. Drink this and get drunk now. My Bible says do not be filled with liquor, for therein is excess. It's a Greek word. It means you lose your self-control right there. People drink and then they commit adultery. People take drugs and then they commit adultery. People lose their self-restraint in that. But rather be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Case in point. For me, that's good. I want the Holy Spirit. How many of you want the Holy Spirit? I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you now, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. It's the Spirit of truth. God is absolute. Jesus is the express image of His person. He's the truth. His word is true. It's absolute truth. The Ten Commandments, every little curvature, so to speak, on those letters, they fascinate me. You look at that, and it's just fascinating. It's channels of power, I tell you. It's like, wow. You know what I felt in my heart? Even this morning, I was just listening to Maud, and I just got a moment of inspiration while listening to her. And I thought, hey, you know, I wish I could take this book and take it and put it all into pictographic language and then put it in some form that you can consume it and have a little hatch open here at the top on my brain and just pour in all those pictographs straight down into my body. You know, I want it. I want it. I just want this word. Makes anything else look silly by comparison. Hey, Pastor George, just give it to me. Bring it on. Bring it on. And I see somebody with a bucket like that over my head and just pouring this word in. I said, this is what I see. This is what I believe for. This is what I want. This is what I desire. This is it. I will set my boundary lines in accordance with that. I will recognize the boundaries. I will take them one by one, get rid of them. I will live this way. For me, these things are now past tense. But the boundaries are in place. Now, I'm telling you tonight about those boundaries. Because unwittingly, you make decisions not to do this or that anymore. Let's say you get people that curse a lot before they get saved. Do use a lot of foul language. Now they get saved. And then you hear those words slip past all the time in the beginning. We find it very funny. Sometimes you get it happening in a home cell. You know, like, whoops. I should have said that. It's too late. It's gone out. You know, people saying things without thinking, and it's because of the culture I've come to this point, and now I'm here. And Jesus said, John 8:32, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Pour it into my mind, Lord. Let there be a funnel. Let it go straight into my heart, Lord. Can my heart contain all of this? How much of this can I take in this lifetime? Sanctify them by your word. Set them apart. Make them holy through this word. Your word is the truth. Now, with that being said, you arrive at a thing called faith. Faith is truth. Dr. David Jeremiah was actually talking about something which I maybe need to mention here. But you know, you have the armor of God. And you have the list. It's in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 12. Let me see if I can just very quickly. Ephesians chapter number 6. Actually, it starts in verse 10. But I'm just going to pick it up in verse 12 because that's where I am. I can see verse 12 in my memory. So if I look at Ephesians chapter number 6 and I look at verse 12, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you, the whole, not part of it, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now, Dr. David Jeremiah points something out here, which I've not seen. It's like somebody else sees it, you don't see it. Sometimes you see things others don't see. Stand there, therefore, having your waist, girded your waist with the truth. That sets the whole thing in motion. It's the first thing of the armor of God is truth. Your armor, your defense system, and your attack system is by what God gives you as the armor of God, and it involves the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is the word of truth. You gird your loins with the truth. And like he said, everything held is held together by that girdle that you put around the waist of truth. Because when you face the enemy, you face the enemy with one. Your biggest weapon is the truth. It's the word of God. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's the gospel? It's the good news of who? Jesus Christ, the truth. It's again the truth. Shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God, the word of truth. What's the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of truth. Everything is truth. You put on the helmet of salvation. When you put on the helmet of salvation, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. By grace, you have been saved through faith. Through faith. Romans chapter number 3, the law of faith. Romans chapter number 4, Abraham believed God and so he was justified. The righteousness of faith. But what is faith based upon? It's based upon the truth. So if I want to have a healthy family, Come on, let's get into the truth. Let's get into the truth. Just start by highlighting the truth. And I want to tell you, the truth is light and it's life. The entrance of the word brings light. Do you know demons flee when you open up the word of God? Because it's the truth. It's full of light. It's full of power. It's greater power. It's resurrection power. You can't crucify the truth. You can't put the truth in a grave and expect that to stay just like that. That grave is never going to be open again. Truth comes out of any grave. When you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you come out of that grave. Your life, the situation at home, in the marriage, the children, the family, everything is based upon the truth. And let me tell you something, there's no such thing as the half a truth, because that's deception. It's deception. And that's what the devil does. He twists the truth. That's why the Bible says some having twisted the word of God to their own destruction, to their own destruction, to their own destruction. You want to disturb the peace in your house, depart from the truth. That's all you have to do. And the devil says, knock, knock, I'm here. When the enemy comes in like a flood. You've got one hope then. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Only the Spirit of truth will drive him out again. When you quote the word, the devil doesn't like the power of the word, because the word is the very sword of the Spirit that, you see, spiritually, you can't hurt an evil spirit by any physical means. Listen to what I'm saying to you now, because we've encountered much of what I'm busy talking about. You can't hurt a spirit, an evil spirit, with a fist, with a stick, with a whip, with a shambok, whatever. The only way you can hurt and do harm to a foul spirit is by the sword of the Spirit. You strike him with the truth. And the moment you strike that spirit with the truth, the devil does not like that. He comes to Jesus on the Mount of Temptation, and he tries to use the word against the word. But of course, you know, Jesus is the word. I think that was the most stupidest thing that I've ever seen the devil ever do, try to reason with Jesus about the word or misinterpret the word. That's what he does with people. I mean, this is just, that's a spectacular display of stupidity. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the devil says it's written. He says, but it's also written, because the word proceeds from him. John 3 verse 23 says, you said the word of God, spoke the word, for God did not give him the spirit by measure. He had the spirit without measure. The spirit without, Holy Spirit without measure. The devil comes along and Jesus answered him with the sword of the Spirit every time like that. That is how you harm and hurt evil spirits. That's how you do damage to spirits that are rampant in homes. You begin to speak the word in the house. Are you listening to me? You speak the word in your house. You speak the word over your family. And if there's a situation you're praying for over a long period of time, you don't stop. You don't stop. You just don't stop. You keep on speaking the word of God. Keep on speaking the word of God. The entire armor of God, righteousness of faith. Faith comes from the breastplate of righteousness. It's the righteousness which is of faith. From faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. How does faith come? By the word of God. What's the word of God? It's the truth. How do you withstand the devil? You put on the full armor of God, and then you use the truth straight in his face. This verse here, I'll close with this. I'm in Newcastle, and there is a girl that's so full of demon spirits that I never thought that she's about 5 foot tall, little girl, young girl. I don't know how old she was, but She's this tiny little thing. And ministers go and minister at that particular church. And then she waits till they get close to her. And then she jumps them. She digs her nails. She gets all violent. So I spent the entire day alone. I locked myself up in a room. And I did nothing else but pray. I was praying in tongues the whole day. In the spirit. Oh, I didn't stop a whole day. Had nothing to do. Those days you didn't have cell phones. So nothing. And I just, the only thing I could do now is pray. So I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray. And at last I go to church. I'm glowing, man. I'm on fire, man. I'm just walking around. I'm just looking for something to do for God. I'm inspired to the max. I do an altar call. The people pour out. She's in the queue. In fact, they're standing in the front of the church. She's standing there in the front. I'm looking at this, and I don't even know about this little girl because, I mean, she looks like she couldn't, like she's there. She's not able to do much. She's too small for that. But that was a misestimation, so to speak, misevaluation, because she's full of demon spirits. She used to chase her father. That's, well, I saw a father well over 6 foot, a big man, and her mother around in the house throwing plates and picking up an axe and a baseball bat and things, running around, chasing them through the house. They were terrified of their own daughter, terrified, I tell you. So I'm coming down, minding my own business, and she's about as far as that speaker from me, and the power of God hits her. Boom, she's down. And she begins to manifest. So I said, well, just take her out. I'm not going to have the service now disturbed by this girl. Take her out. Just go wait there with her in the, what they call the consistory. What? Oh, I've got out of those things now. Consistory. Whatever. Whatever. They got this room in the back there where the church board meets. Hallelujah. I forgot about that one. Anyway. So I said, take her there and wait for me. So I'm having church. There's a duomni. He's a tall duomni. He says, I'm working there, down there in Natal. He says, and I'm having a lot of problems there with the religious groups there. I'm just not getting, nothing is moving. Nothing is moving. Not even the dust is moving. I'm witnessing nothing is happening. He says, pray for me. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, come here. Boom. And he's down. He goes like falling over there. He's a tall guy. And the problem with these tall men, their shirts tear, come out. So he's got this, what looks seems to be a very short white shirt on. And a big gap in between. I'm looking at this. I'm going down. And I'm going to the end of the road, and I come back, he's still on the ground. I pass him again and go there to the other side and come back. He's still there. Finally, he gets up and he's going, and he's talking in tongues flat out. He says, may I join you, sir? I said, with pleasure. Put your hands with me on these people. And he's behind me, this tall guy. He's looking over my shoulder. I can feel his breath on my neck. And he's and he's praying. I tell you that I've never had any person like that. This duomni was praying like he had swallowed fire. And it was just pouring out. Months would pass. And he suddenly he contacted me. He said, you don't know what's happening. I'm breaking every yoke. I'm bringing in the lost. I'm in the missionary field. He says, I'm casting out demons. The sick are being healed. Everything is busy changing. Everything is changing. Everything is changing. The power of this book of truth. You want peace in your house? Know your boundaries. Build a hedge of protection. Cast out anything within those boundaries that ought not to be there. By what measure? By the value system that is in this book. No other religion gives you a value system like Christianity. We got both the Old and the New Testament. Know your boundaries. Stick to your boundaries. make a vow. Whatever it is, I will not go outside of this perimeter. Get rid of anything associated with the disturbance of the peace in your house, in your family, in your marriage, whatever. And if you have problems in your marriage, if you have problems in your marriage, then you get down to drawing the line around yourself, and from a position of strength, you focus. You come from a position of the anointing authority, or the authority of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You begin to verbalize the truth over your marriage partner. You begin to verbalize. I do it with Maud every morning at about 7 o'clock. We're together and we pray over all of our children, over everything, all of the family. We just go through it. We discuss, then we pray. And I'll never stop praying. I go to heaven and I'm still praying. I won't stop praying. I just won't. Faith is stubborn if it's right. It doesn't give up. It does not give up. Faith is the victory. This is even the victory, even our faith. The Bible tells us that in the book of 1 John, chapter number 4. This is the victory, even our faith. You've overcome the world, and this is our victory, even our faith. You read the book of 1 John about what he said there. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But we got to walk in the light. Where do you find the light? In the truth. Walk in the light as he is. He is the light of the world. I hope that helps you to renew and set up boundaries, ring fence your personal principles, then begin to ring fence your home principles and say, this out, this no, not, I don't, I tell you what, if the devil had to try and spend the night in my house, if I don't get to him, then my dogs will. I want to tell you something. That just doesn't happen. Because we're based on the rock. We're based on the rock. It's a place of peace. It's rock of God peace. And from that position, I'm able to tell you. May you be able to bring this into your life, bring it into your whole house, into your family. Don't allow stuff under your roof. Don't allow that. Set boundaries on that internet, on that television. Set boundaries. Well, can you say amen? Amen. I mean, I could go on for a long time. I mean, I'm right now in my element. I nearly started preaching. Just had a little bit of a family talk tonight. But this is real. That's where you're living. You're right down there, living there in this world. And if you don't ring fence, if you don't set up boundaries, if you don't do that, the devil will have free access to what you covet the most, value the most, that's high on your value system. He will have free access and get straight in there. Somebody here by the name of Alet Buerta, where's Alet Buerta? Will you please come to me? Can you bring me some oil there, please, George? There's some of these prayer requests that we will follow up. They're private stuff, so we'll just follow it up rather than go. Here's somebody for pain in the leg. It looks like kidney and back. Ella Smith, where are you? Come, please. And Charlene Stolknecht. It's like a German surname. Prayers for my health. Where is she? Please come to me. And then I'm just going to pray a prayer here for Edward Thwaites. Where is he? Will you just come stand here too? And I'm not going to give all the details of this because, you know, it's like private information. People trust us with their privacy, and I don't like to just speak things out. It's their privacy. But I started with Alette. All right. So, we got the situation. We know what it's all about. Morty. Ah. All right. Have you got pain right now? There. Okay. And there. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to put my hand on that spot right now. Do you forgive everybody for ever sinning against you? You absolutely do. You forgive people their debts as we forgive our debtors. You do that. You hold nothing against no one. You've committed your life to Jesus Christ. And you want to serve the Lord. Right now, while I'm talking to you, the power of God's already on you. Power of God's right on you. Just say, I forgive all people, whatever they've done against me. Say the word of God. Say, I confess that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. The punishment of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. All right. Everybody just raise your hands towards her. I'm going to get a little bit loud now. Come out, you spirit of torment, in Jesus Christ's name. Go and torment her or nobody else here. We're all under the blood of Jesus. I break your curse on this woman. You will not torment her again. In Jesus' name, go and return no more. Now, how do you feel? Pain gone? God bless you. God bless you. And you may take your seat. You are Ella. Meet the seat. Okay, Stan Neda. I pray for you last with a purpose. George, you get the chair, just put it for me up here. Would you just go around with, follow this pastor for me? He'll take you to the top there. Just go with him. Charlene, and okay, there's this situation, right? I know what it is, but it's nobody else to know. Where is that oil? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, let me just check your card here. Have you got pain in your back at the moment? You have. Where in the back? Right there. Okay. I'm just putting oil on you. Is that the spot over there? Right. Just say the punishment of my peace was upon Jesus. By his stripes, I am healed. I forgive all people, but really forgive from the bottom of my heart all people who sinned against me, in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I receive my healing right now. Okay. Look at me for a moment. Okay. I put my hand on that spot there on your back. I put my hand on your head. And I release the power of God on her right now. Let's do it. I'm going to get loud now, so don't get a fright. Go, you foul spirit, in Jesus' name. Torment this woman no more. You're causing her to have other malfunctions, which I'm aware of. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, devil, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the sword of the Spirit, He sent His word and healed the people. By the power of the name of Jesus, I break the curse on you over your entire body. I command pain, torment, and all the other symptoms, go in Jesus Christ's name. By the power of the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Let a miracle happen tonight. Touch this woman and her affliction, which she's described privately to me. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I loose your healing power to every spot of sickness in her body right now in Jesus Christ's name. And I break the curse of sickness for the rest of her life. She's out of it right now. She belongs to Jesus. The curse is broken. In Jesus' name, be healed. Look at me now. You had pain in your back. Gone. God bless you. All right. And this little one. Okay. Edward. Eddie. Like your dad. Eddie Jr. Like your dad. Okay. Okay, Eddie. I know your situation, and that's enough. People entrust us with their privacy. And so with that in mind, I just pray right now, wisdom, 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 wisdom. Just raise your hands towards Him. And whatever curse was affecting that part of His life, so to speak. I'm just making it vague. Because God knows, He knows, I know. You just agree with me what I'm saying right now. The curse is broken in Jesus' name. The demon spirits that operated there and caused havoc in the home, get out in Jesus Christ's name. Father, I build a hedge of protection by the power of the Holy Spirit. Give your angels charge concerning him. Let the holy angels, their ministering spirit, send forth to minister on behalf of those who have obtained salvation. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 14. In Jesus' name, the power of the sword of the Spirit, now in Jesus Christ's name, into his house, and drive the devil far, far away, never to return. Let there be a hedge of protection. Let the angels of God help us in this. In Jesus' name, let the power of God come upon him now, the mind of Christ and favor and wisdom. And Lord, I thank you for touching him, even in his personal health, in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch him right now. Touch his heart. Touch his heart and heal him according to your word. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Now you will not fear, you will not fear, you will not fear, you will not fear, you will not fear. You understand me? You agree with me? In Jesus' name, God bless you. Send your mother. Is your mother okay?
She was 86 last week.
86 last week. Hallelujah. And wait. Okay, now, as for you, where's George? George, gaan net achter asseblief. Stoot as een klein beetje voor hen toe. I need you a little bit closer to me. Nog nader, nog nader, nader. And there we are. So op hier, op hier. Sit terug in die stoel. Nee, kijk voor mij. Sit terug in die stoel, so ver as wat jy kan. Terug, daai kant toe. Jo, ja, daar is hy. Okay, geef me jou twee voete net so. Net so, net so. All right. Say it, Jesus. You know, I've done that now. Just let it come down. Help her down for me, please. Let's hope that he's up here on this, okay? Just bring it down. There's disturbance in the spiritual realm around you, and you've been under attack. And there's a spirit of addiction that's there. And it must go. You've got a ring fence. There's also cigarettes. Yes, cigarettes. And all of that stuff, it's got to go. You want health? You want restoration? You want it fully? Right. Just say, I forgive all people who sin against me. In Jesus' name. Now just stand, I'm going to get loud. Come out, you devil of torment. Let this woman go in the name of Jesus. Father, restore her from head to toe in Jesus' name. The punishment of your peace was upon Jesus. By his stripes you were healed. Deur sy wonde het daar vir jou genesing gekom. In Jesus' name, let's give the Lord a praise offering right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. George, thank you. Well, let's stand, give the Lord a praise offering, everybody, right now. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Right now, if you've got any form of sickness in your body, just put it anywhere. If you've got pain, put it. If it's on your head, whatever, put the hand, any one of your hands, just put it on your body, wherever it is. Father, you see where it is. The people are pointing to it now. Wherever the sickness is, even if it's not pain, you just know there's something malfunctioning. I break every curse over God's people tonight. And I bind Satan. And I strike you with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, devil. You will be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter number 20, verse 10, where the beast and the false prophet are. You will be cast there and you will be tormented forever and suffer for what you've done on this earth. The word of God has already judged you, and therefore you will suffer the full consequences. You know that. We break your power against these people. We take authority over you as the body of Christ. We bind you and command you, get out of every house, every household, every home. Let your hands out. Get it off our finances, our money, business, whatever it is. Go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name for the victory that's even our faith. We believe, therefore we receive it. We give the Lord a big praise offering right here and now. Amen. Amen. How many of you had a pain in your body and it's gone now? Just do that. And give the Lord another praise offering right now. Yeah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lift up his countenance over you and be gracious to you. Grant you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God, the Almighty Father, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.